Good morning again.
Good morning.
Today's message is about healing of faith, but I want to thank Roger for choosing Amazing Grace as a hymn for today, because that little girl right there, I used to sing that to her before bed every night. It's my daughter, Jane. Also, it's interesting, but I don't see any of the three Mormon ladies that came to my front door to ask me if I was interested in reading the Book of Mormon the other day. I invited them to come to this service. Maybe next time. Well, healing and faith, we've been told a lot of things in our life by a lot of different people, some more influential than others. And I think we recognize it's truly up to us what we accept as our truth. Sometimes we accept exactly what we're told, and other times we need to judge it by our own experiences. When it comes to the idea of healing, we often form beliefs according to the medical community. We don't feel qualified sometimes, and so we feel we need more expert advice. However, this advice we receive establishes our limits, because we tend to believe what we're told or what we've read. And this works for some of us and for some of the time, but not always. Many of us seek alternatives in healing. If it's an emotional or a spiritual issue, we may turn to prayer, affirmations. If it's physical, maybe we try yoga or acupuncture or energy work or one of 100 others. When thinking about healing in our lives, we may ask ourselves questions. What is the right path for me? What power do we hold within ourselves? Are we required to adapt to the world, or can the world adapt to us? What changes do we need to make in order to heal? Our questions may become even more pointed, like, do we deserve to be well? Do we do something to deserve our illness or our condition? Or is it too late to be healed? We may question whether God will help us, or wonder if healing is possible. We may even be afraid to be made well because of the changes that would happen or the obligations we'd face. And this might even be a question for us. Is healing too good to be true? All of these questions and their answers may interfere with our abilities to heal. Here are two stories I'd like to share with you. One's from the Bible, and one from Myrtle Fillmore. I'd like to preface by saying there is an overriding, fundamental, spiritual principle at work in both these stories. It is really quite simple, and it's also quite profound. It's a formula that creates every success in this world. It's conceive, believe, and act. Nothing can or ever will happen without conceiving it first. If you don't believe in the possibility of it, it won't happen. But once you do, you become open and available that you can shift into believing and then into taking action, which supports your belief. Let's see how it works in these two stories. The first story comes to us from the Gospel of John. When I read the passage, it came alive to me in vivid detail. It expanded and deepened and spoke directly to me. I wrote down what I saw and heard. Now it's up to you to discern for yourself what feels true to you. Stories about a blind man at the beside a pool and Yeshua. Yeshua being Jesus' Aramaic name, his native language. Now there was a man sitting and waiting for his chance to enter the pool and receive his sight. As a boy, he'd been told that the first to enter the pool when the waters had been stirred would be made well. He believed this. He believed this with all of his heart. And why would he think otherwise? For everyone had said this same thing to him. Each day he sat by the pool, listening carefully to the sounds, so that he would not miss the stirring of the water, and so that he might be first to enter. But each time he heard it stir, someone else entered before him. He believed them to be healed. He could not see what happened, but he could hear their joy and their laughter as they walked away from the crowd of those wishing to be healed. For 38 years, he had waited by the pool, waited for his chance. Yeshua speaking, saying, thinking, as I passed, I noticed him and knew his life. I could feel his heart and see what lay within him. The desire to be made well. I felt his faith in the water, a faith placed there by others. And I asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" He inclined his head toward me and responded, "Yes, with all my heart. But there is no one to help me into the pool when its waters have been stirred. Each time I rise up and walk to the steps, someone is there before me, and they enter, and I am left, still blind, standing on the stairs." I knew he had faith and trust in others' words. I searched inside of him to see, could he have faith in his own? Could his heart see for him? Could he believe there was another way to be healed, or would his mind refuse this? I asked him, "Do you know who I am?" "No, sir, I do not, for I cannot see you, but I wonder if you are he that I have heard about. Are you the one who heals the lame and the sightless? Are you the man they call Yeshua?" "I am Yeshua, and I am he who offers to all who choose it. Others have told you that the stirred waters heal you, but I say to you, it is your faith that makes you well." So I asked him, "Do you believe that your eyes can be opened?" He sat there by the pool with his head bowed. I watched his heart, knowing how hard it was for him to release his beliefs in what others had told him his entire life. And I saw how his heart embraced hope and a new faith. I watched as it grew inside his whole being, releasing his old ways and opening to a new way of seeing. His head lifted toward the sound of my voice, and he spoke, "Yes, I believe my eyes can be opened." So I said to him, "Arise, pick up your mat and walk. Come and follow my path. See with your new eyes and believe with your new heart." And he rose, exclaiming, "I can see. I can see." He came and he hugged me, and I said to him, "Brother, your faith has made you well." And he did follow my path and helped many others to see with his new eyes. Let's consider the scene for a second. There's a blind man who has been waiting for 38 years to be first into the pool. Can you even imagine The blind man believes the water will heal him. He's been told this since boyhood, and he believes it. Why wouldn't he? If you think about it, aren't we influenced by what others tell us? And haven't we seen how repetition makes beliefs stronger until they feel like the absolute truth to us? From the story, it appears the blind man never considered any alternatives. He unquestioningly believes in the process. Yeshua arrives and looks into him, sees and knows his heart and his desire. Yeshua sees, too, his faith is in the water and not in himself, because he does not see himself as a part of God. He's blind to this truth. Yeshua asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" The blind man answers, "Yes, with all my heart," but then gives reasons why it hasn't worked. How often do we fall into this trap? We become lost in the reasons why things won't work. This certainly happens to me, and perhaps it happens to you too. Yeshua asks, "Do you know who I am?" Blind man responds that he's wondering if Yeshua is he who he knows my reputation as a healer. Yeshua's response is really important for him and for us, because he says, "I am he who offers healing to any who choose it." Yeshua again looks into the blind man's heart, searching to see if there is room for him to believe. Does he have enough courage to be healed? Or will his mind refuse it? I think it's important to note, how will he make his decision? Will it be with his head or with his heart, spirit? Yeshua asks a very key question. Do you believe your eyes can be opened? The real underlying question here is, can the blind man conceive it, believe it, and take action on it? Yeshua tells him, it's not about the water, but rather, it's about your faith. The blind man considers, it's a hard thing to release what others have told him and to embrace a new concept and a new idea and a new belief. The blind man reaches a decision, and he takes action, saying, "Yes, I believe my eyes can be opened." This action supports making his belief real. And Yeshua says to him, "Arise, pick up your mat, and follow me." To which we hear the blind man's triumphant, "I can see, I can see." And Yeshua tells the blind man, "Brother, your faith has made you well." Myrtle Fillmore's story, last Sunday, Reverend Crispell mentioned her, who along with her husband Charles Fillmore co-founded Unity Church. Myrtle, at a young age, contracted tuberculosis, which at that time was thought to be a death sentence. She attended a lecture by E.B. Weeks, who shared that every human being has an innate potential for divine healing through the use of affirmative prayer. Myrtle accepted this as the truth. She claimed this birthright and this power, saying, "I am a child of God, and therefore do not inherit any sickness." She released her misperceptions of being weak and unhealthy and embraced a new perception of truth, that she was whole and healthy. And she did this through the use of daily affirmative prayer. And she lived until she was 86. What questions do these stories bring up? What have we been told, and what have we accepted as our truth? And will these beliefs that we have allow us to be healed? If you were asked right now, do you want to be made well? What would you respond? And are we ready to explore what might work for us? I'd like to offer one possible approach. Comes to you in a series of steps, which begin with AA and goes through HH. Here they are. AA means ask and accept. In your relationship with Spirit, are you able to ask for help? And once help starts coming to you, are you able to accept it? I confess, asking for help is challenging for me. Perhaps it is for you too. Accepting help can also be difficult, but it is absolutely critical for your success. Both asking and accepting are key steps, and I've discovered that you have too, that I both need and want them. It's really important for me to trust that God is both with me and there for me. BB stands for Breathe Beautifully. What a wonderful way to start the process. Breathing always aids and supports us. It connects us with the divine breath, which slows us and prepares an opening. CC is clear consciousness. Once we are at peace, we can clear our consciousness, which means releasing the ideas and beliefs that no longer serve you. It is a worthy effort to acknowledge them all, to thank them all for their appearance, and then to let them go. DD means decide deliberately. Once we are peaceful and open, it's up to us to decide on purpose and to choose what we believe. Remember, we have free will and we're limitless. So every pathway to healing is open to us. EE stands for Experience Everything. It's an essential part of the process. If we experience everything and allow it all in and feel our feelings, they will all serve as wonderful guides to aid in our deciding. FF means follow your fears. Fear is an integral part of the process, and it points the way toward love and healing. If we allow our fears in and listen to their messages, nothing will stand in our way. GG is gratitude for the gifts. One of the most important healing steps is to recognize that every fear reveals gifts to you. It takes a lot of practice, well worth it. Once seen, gifts provide insight and strength and the ability to release our fears so that we can embrace our faith in the healing process. Each gift opens your heart to divine healing. HH means healing your heart. It's to recognize that every fear reveals things to you and to remember what Yeshua said. He did not do the healing. Rather, he allowed and encouraged others to do the healing themselves through their faith and awareness that they are part of the one. In closing, both the blind man and Vernal Fillmore first needed to release old beliefs and to open to new possibilities, a new concept about healing. They both embraced this and shifted their beliefs, and they both came to understand that they have the power within themselves to heal. And they both took action to confirm their faith and their beliefs, and through that, they were healed. So where do we stand? I suggest that healing faith cannot be proven from the outside. These stories can ignite hope and help shift beliefs, but it only works when it happens from the inside of you. If you're drawn to it, maybe you'd like to try the approach I've just offered. A copy of this is going to be on the website. If you go to our website, it's going to be along with the talks, and then somewhere along the line you'll be able to see it there. Of course, you can use this or any other approach that feels right to you to assist you in opening that allows for you to conceive and believe and act in accordance with the truth of your holiness, your wholeness, and your oneness with our divine source. May it be so. Amen.